Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. How are you feeling today, Ben?
Better. I was under the weather, as you know, but I've pulled through.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on June 6th, 2013, titled How Mayor Emanuel Locked the Parking Meter Deal in Place, which you wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
This article details the seeming contradiction of the Emanuel administration's public statements about the changes to the city's agreement with Chicago parking meters that the city council recently approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the city's position during a lawsuit brought against the agreement by the organization Independent Voters of Illinois, IVI. You quote Mayor Emanuel as saying that there's nothing he can do to overturn the parking meter deal.
That's correct, Senator.
Then you write that this and other assertions are not true. But last year, Mick wrote that the city's contract with Chicago parking meters requires the city to defend the deal in court. So within the terms of the contract, what other position could the city have taken in the lawsuit that IVI brought opposing the agreement?
Well, the position I would have loved for them to take.
What could they legally have done?
Well, legally, they could have taken any position. Whether they would win the judge's ruling is the question. They could have challenged the validity of the contract on the grounds that we were poorly served by the people who made the deal, that they gave us erroneous information, that there were falsehoods, that there was conflict of interest. We could have done a lot of things to shed some light on the original deal itself, which might cause some discomfort for everybody involved in that deal, particularly the people who are representing the city. It's such a whiz-bang job of representing the city.
And he who shall not be named.
And he who shall not be named, the mayor. In other words, instead of saying, gosh, I hate this deal so much because it's so bad, he could have aggressively challenged it in court for the very reasons that it is bad. And would we have won? I don't know. But I certainly would have put some pressure on the other side, the parking meter company, to maybe come up with a little more favorable of an agreement. Maybe we would have won. It's a home court, you know. Maybe a judge would have ruled in favor. But what he did from the get-go was to undercut the lawsuit that the independent voters had filed. He essentially argued in court, not literally Mayor Rahm, but lawyers for Mayor Rahm, that the city had actually benefited from the parking agreement, and therefore there was no merit to arguing that it was victimized by it.
So you're saying that the fact that the city had agreed in the contract that it would defend the agreement in court really had no bearing on the position they took?
Yes. And furthermore, it didn't have a bearing in the judicial ruling by the judge, which was one of the arguments that the city's lawyers made to ratify the contract. Essentially, Mayor Rahm threw away whatever leverage he had with the parking meter company and urged the city council to re-ratify the agreement, even though it's not at all clear how the public benefits. That's a whole other set of murkiness that we didn't really focus so much on this case because we wanted to really isolate the issue that this was a matter where the mayor was making a false assertion in regards to what the judge had ruled in terms of the parking meter deal.
This perspective that the city defends the meter deal in court isn't new. Mick wrote about it last year. And I haven't seen a lot of reporting around this contradiction. For example, Mark Brown, Sun-Times columnist, wrote on June 3rd, Corporation Counsel Stephen Patton told aldermen that if there were legal means to nullify the contract, he would have embraced it. And Brown says, I believe him. So have you or Mick spoken to other journalists about why they don't report on the contradictions inherent in the city's actions?
Well, I can only speak for myself because I actually don't know if Mick has talked to any other journalists. I have not talked to any of them. You're pretty much the only journalist I ever talked to, Dave, other than Mick.
Because they won't return your phone calls?
No, I just, you know, don't really get a chance to talk to many journalists. Nothing against journalists. Some of my best friends are journalists.
Not sitting in the Billy Goat after work.
No.
Chewing the fat with Neil Steinberg. Your Sun-Times colleagues.
My son and I do work for the Sun-Times.
Sneed.
I really don't know why other journalists do the things they do. This is, of course, one of our favorite topics of conversations regard to the TIF reporting that goes on in town.
Though you have brought some of them around.
Yeah, well, give me 8 years, I'm going to bring them around on the parking meter deal as well. So I really don't know why they say the things that they do. You might have to ask Mick that or ask them that when you see them at Billy Goat's. But in defense of journalists everywhere, it's a big, complicated deal. And the mayor makes these bold assertions, and it's very difficult to stand up and say, you know, that bold assertion is not true. Now, in credit to the Chicago Press Corps, I thought the coverage of the school closings was much better. I'd like to give a shout out to WBEZ. Did a great point-by-point takedown of almost every assertion that Mayor Emanuel made regarding school closings and established that most of them were without any validity. And yet the Board of Education ratified the school closings. It's very difficult to confront the mayor so boldly, and it's a complicated story. There's a lot of claims that the mayor's throwing out. We focused on the lawsuit. I think the lawsuit is pivotal because, again, I keep saying this, if you want to put leverage on the Chicago Parking Meter Company to try to get them to back off on some of the more onerous aspects of this horrible, horrendous deal, then you should really play hardball. The mayor should approach the Chicago Parking Meter Company the way he approaches, as I've said many times, the Chicago Teachers Union, where he's very tough, and it doesn't matter if there's a contract. He asserts his right to overturn the contract, rip up the contract, force a strike if necessary, go to Springfield to change laws. But no, we're much more passive in regards to the Chicago Parking Meter Company, which gets us to the second point that Mick and I will probably address in future articles. We didn't have enough space to address in this one, which was, why did we even bother to do this? What was change to benefit the citizens of Chicago by re-ratifying the deal? The city clearly didn't make a definitive argument there. They didn't offer any substantiation to the claim that we're going to save $1 billion over the course of the contract. They stated that, just like they stated the judge's ruling prevented us from legally challenging it. So at this point, Dave, I don't understand what was accomplished other than further undermining the legal challenge. They re-ratified the deal, thus crippling the the one thing out there that would undermine it, which is the lawsuit filed by IBI.
Why would the Emanuel administration do this when they have a clearly strong mandate from the populace that you can't lose on this, right, as far as the public goes? If you oppose the meter deal, and instead of opposing it, they did, as you say, they helped solidify putting it in place. So is the motivation simply pay to play, as implied by your detailing the campaign contributions from Winston and Strawn, which is the
law firm representing the parking meter company,
to the Emanuel campaign? What's going on here?
In my humble opinion, absent any credible evidence that this deal was either one, necessary, or two, beneficial to the citizens of Chicago, my guess is that what the mayor wants to do is to send a message loud and clear that he's standing by the parking meter company so that the investor community, to put it euphemistically, will be assured that Chicago's assets remain for sale in case of other deals, Midway, Water, whatever else he's cooking up to sell. Don't forget that great infrastructure trust, which the mayor made such a big deal about when he created, when was that ago? About a year ago or so?
Quite a while ago. It's a sleeping giant.
So Chicago remains for sale. Mayor Emanuel is sending a very kind of strong message that he's going to stand by these deals and that he very much wants to consummate other ones. It's very discouraging news because from a purely public policy standpoint, the worst part about the parking meter deal is that the revenue that's going to the parking meter company is money that Chicago really needs. You know, I hate to pick on my bicycling friends. They're so vulnerable, though. But as you recall, when the deal was first struck, many of our bicycling cohorts cheered it as a way of keeping people from driving their cars because the outrageous fees that the parking meter company was about to start charging people would presumably deter folks from driving. Well, that, of course, has not proved to be the case. They keep making more and more money. So really, that's money that could be going into the city of Chicago, which desperately needs it.
Though I haven't seen any studies of how the number of car trips have changed since parking meter rates were raised under CPM.
I've not seen those studies either, but I do know that CPM is bringing in a lot more money under the new deal than the city of Chicago was bringing in before they started jacking up the rates. So we could have easily put those new sophisticated meters in ourselves as a city, and we could be collecting that money. In fact, the great Scott Wagasback, Alderman Wagasback, made this argument in 2008 that this money should be going to Chicago. So now we're losing this money. It's going out of the city when we really need it. I think the mayor really owes it to the people to fight to either reduce the number of years that we're serving under this contract or to reduce the amount of money that goes out every year any way he can.
Not if he wants to keep sending that strong investor message.
Yes, the message is sent really clear. And so really, when I take a look at the parking meter ratification, re-ratification that just occurred, it's not at all clear that we, the people of Chicago, have benefited by reducing the amount of money we're going to have to pay each year to the Chicago Parking Meter Company in return for like street fairs or NATO or closing down the meters for whatever reason. It's really not at all clear that we're going to benefit on the back end of the deal in terms of trading free Sunday in some neighborhoods for the extra hour in all neighborhoods. The only definitive result I can see coming from the re-ratification is that it cripples the existing lawsuit, which is the only leverage we had to maybe try to force some changes. So while saying that he detests the parking meter deal and wants to change it, the effective result of what he did was to make it permanent.
Are you calling the mayor duplicitous?
I would never say anything like that. He's canny. He's smart.
He's canny.
He's cagey like a cat.
Canny and cagey.
Yes.
A little detail here. Officials from Chicago Parking Meters refused to testify before aldermen when they held hearings. They grilled the Corporation Council about the proposed contract changes that the City Council approved. And CPM refused to testify because of, quote, pending litigation with the City of Chicago, unquote. What is that pending litigation? Do you know?
That's part of what is up and down is up. I presume they're talking about matters that were before an arbitrator. Part of the contract that Mayor Daley agreed to, the City Council passed, adopted 4 years ago, compensates the Chicago Parking Meter Company for money they don't get when the streets are closed or when people with disabled stickers in their car are taking up meters that they should be paying for.
It's guaranteed revenue.
Yes, it's guaranteed revenue. It's the guaranteed right to operate these parking meters. There was a matter of great dispute. The so-called true-up costs was under dispute where the parking meter company had come up with its own numbers, which they billed the city, saying, well, we couldn't use the parking meters on June 12th, so therefore we're charging you X amount of dollars. As I understand it, the parking meter company came in with a bill for approximately $50 million, and the city came in with its claim that it was only $9 million, and they were hashing it out before an arbitration panel. And before a decision was rendered, they cut this deal. The parking meter company and the City of Chicago agreed to re-ratify the contract. That doesn't mean that the Chicago Parking Meter Company next year won't come back to the city with a bill saying you owe us $20 million.
Because what the city council just passed applies to the past.
That's correct. It's not like the parking meter company is agreeing not to bill the city, which is definitely what the mayor wants you to believe. Not that I'm saying he's duplicitous. He wants the citizens of Chicago, who are half asleep anyway, to believe that he somehow or other got the parking meter company to agree to drop these claims going down for the future. That's not true. They come back next year.
And that's a very important detail.
I think it's a very important detail. Second, perhaps only to him fabricating a judicial ruling that said he couldn't sue the parking meter company, when in fact the judge's ruling said pretty much the opposite, that the only standing such a case would have is if the city were making it. So I would say the two essential parts of the parking meter deal are fabrications. And yet the city council voted 39-11. Was that the vote?
Something like that.
I think
yeah.
It was 39-11. God bless those 11.
And 24 within 24 hours of the mayor announcing
hours.
The deal.
This is going to get at what I'm writing for next week, but I have to say this anyway. You know, it doesn't matter what the argument the mayor makes is, because the city council, there's a majority of people in the city council who repeat it, even if it's false. And so it's similar with the school board. It doesn't matter what argument the mayor makes, because his school board appointees will repeat it, even if it's fabricated and false. So I think that there's a larger issue here, even beyond the outrageous loss of hundreds of millions of dollars to a company that's based in Germany, Dubai, or wherever the investors live. And that is that we, the people, allow these crucial, important decisions that affect our everyday life to be justified by fictitious arguments.
On that optimistic note, Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome.
Listeners, you can access all of Inside Chicago Government's print and audio reporting on the device of your choice. To learn how, go to chigob.com. On your web, look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.